There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
So you can imagine my surprise, not really at the decapitation of the P. Diddy wax statue, that reading the story that it is 10 years old. P. Diddy has had his own wax statue at Madame Tussauds Wax Museum for a decade? A decade. Well done. Well done. For a guy that really, as rappers go, not the best rapper. Kind of does better coming in saying, yeah, that's right. You know, coming in like adding, like when the real rappers do their thing, then he comes in just gives, I guess, the verbal exclamation points on the rhymes. That guy has had, for 10 years, has had a statue there at Madame Tussauds Wax Museum. So, things I didn't know. All right, Midday Mobile, hour number two, and grabbing more calls, still talking tolls, and we will get to that interview from Friday, too, because I think it's worth hearing what the folks from ALDOT had to say here. And there's a lot of things I want to make sure, and Dalton, this is maybe what we'll do in the, you know, the 5 minutes extra we have this afternoon when we get off the air, is put together a list of things we know about the proposed bridge. So we can, you know, run through like a quick, like a FAQ, frequently asked questions here, that it will be tolling on both the tunnel and the bridge, that it'll be a private concessionaire, that they will have the tolling authority for 55 years and be able to raise the toll per inflation, that there won't be any toll boosts. It'll be toll by plate. There will not be any toll boosts. What other, that the bayway will be expanded in elevation and width. In other words, lanes. We'll put all that, we kind of maybe put this into a one-sheeter and put this out so everybody can get caught up. All right, let's go next to Mobile. And is it Sonora?
It is Sonora.
Hey, what a beautiful name. Very cool. A cool place, too. Hey.
Thank you.
All right.
How are you this afternoon?
I'm good. So what do you think about this? Are you ready to pay $3 to $6 to cross the Bayway?
No, I'm not. My concern, well, what I guess I really want to know, Cyrus, just kind of caught, got in on it, like, I guess halfway through, is tolls is an absolute, or will there be an option for those that don't want to do tolls?
Well, they're telling us.
Or can't afford to do tolls.
Well, right. They're telling us, Sonora, they're telling us that we can go government to the bankhead to the causeway. Okay, and that's cool. I mean, that route is there. But think if all of us are doing that. Like, or, heck, let's take 20% of us that would be taking I-10 through the Wallace or the, and we now all decide we're going to get off. I'm going to get off at Texas Street exit or whatever, Virginia Street. I'm going to, or Canal, and then I'm going to do the old cut over and cut around and get on government and hang that right turn to go eastbound on government to go through the Bankhead. That traffic will be berserk.
It will. I agree with you. I guess in looking at over in Bowen County, you know, they have the where you can keep I-10 or you can take the tollway.
Right.
And most people, once they saw that they can get through faster, whatever, a lot of people chose to take the tollway. So they kept, like I say, I was just wondering, are they going to keep that option open like they did over there in Bowen County to... Yeah. You know, those that want to take the toll bridge can. Those that choose not to or maybe cannot afford to take the toll bridge, where they still have a way to get back and forth.
Yeah, I mean, we will. If we could take, you know, we take the Bankhead or we can take the Cochrane Africa Town Bridge. But, you know, that's going to, but it, to me, that also will move, it's going to move extra traffic onto those roads. It has to. By default, it has to move more traffic onto those roads. So they're going to be slower.
Right about that.
Yeah, I mean, the market, I mean, the great thing about free market economics is you can, you know, usually pretty accurately predict what will happen. When something costs more, people will find an alternative, you know, and that's what they even admitted when they said, hey, we can't have I-10, we can't have the Wallace Tunnel not tolled because nobody will go on the bridge. I'm paraphrasing, I'm putting it in Sullivanese, but, you know, well, everybody will go take the tunnel and not take the bridge and we won't get any money. Well... So they said they have to toll both of them so they can get their money.
I don't think that's true. Like I say, if you look at the Bowen County, you know, they have, you know, people take the toll. You know, they decide going to Orange Beach and over that way, hey, we'll pay the extra to go. But those that choose not to, you know, those that may not be able to afford to, you know, you got some people carpooling because everyone can't afford to pay the gas, so
right. They
put it in one tank and go across. So I'm just looking at those that can, and then maybe those that cannot. Are we keeping an option open for those those that have not?
Yeah, so there is an option. I don't know if it's, you know, as good as the toll option, but you're right. I mean, I pay the toll to take the Beach Express, but then again, I don't go down very often. It's a luxury for me when I go down there. If I had to run that every day for work, I probably would not go that. I mean, I couldn't afford paying $6 every day coming and going.
Exactly.
But I mean, if it's like, if the family, if we're going down the beach for the weekend, well, sure. You know, Big Daddy will break out the $6, last of the big spenders, and I'll do it. But yeah, I'm not doing it every day for sure. Thank you for the call.
That's
appreciate
what I'm
it.
Uh-huh.
All right. Thank you. I'm going to grab a couple more here because we're going to get tight on time because coming up at 1:30 and. But y'all hear the delay in my voice as I'm looking at my phone here and making sure we are good to go. And yes, Debbie Williams from News 5, who's been at that Baldwin County Board of Education hearing. Well, it was Baldwin County Board of Education, Gulf Shores School System, the superintendent, a bunch of people in the mix here. She's gonna talk about what happened at that meeting here with us at 1:30. All right, let's go to Ricky in Mobile next. Hey, Ricky.
Hey, man, I think it's amazing how, with all the taxes we ever pay, the federal government, the state government, city government, we can't build a bridge without having to charge every soul that rides over it.
Yep.
I figure that's what taxes was all for, to build things and pay for things. Does that make sense?
Well,
am I wrong?
No, it's interesting. So if one of the arguments that's made, you know, that... We want a lifestyle. I've heard people say we want a lifestyle beyond what we're willing to pay for in taxes. Now, the problem is that's assuming everybody wants the same things, right? And we don't. I mean, Ricky, get all of us, heck, just get you and me and our kinfolk lined up and all agree on something's probably pretty tough. So they're going to say, well, this is beyond what the taxpayers in mass have said, you know, is the minimum. This is going to be something extra. So there's not tax money for this, so we're going to have to do it this way in tolls.
Well, things grow. More traffic, more people. Population has grown. Money's grown, just like the gas tax. There's just as much, if not more, gallons of gas being sold all every year than it used to be. I know the taxes ain't... The money's there. It's the allocation. And I think it's a shame if they build an interstate. Should be federal government, all these government agencies, that they should put in the money and build what needs to be built. It is ridiculous. I-10... At 5 o'clock, it's not reliable. Find a different way around it because it's not big enough. It needs to be, and we pay for that. We pay for it every day out of our paycheck.
There we go. Ricky, appreciate it. Up against the break, we'll come back, grab a couple more calls, and get that interview from last week. Y'all stay close.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Saw that headline there. It was the sailor. You know this picture. You know this photograph. I'm going to describe it to you, but if you Google it, you see the photograph, you'll say, holy cow, I know who you're talking about. The sailor in that iconic VJ Day Times Square Kiss photo dies at age 95. Remember that picture? It's black and white. It has the sailor. And I don't know if that's an unidentified woman. Maybe she's identified. They're in Times Square, the announcement of the end of the war, World War II, and he's giving her a big smooch, and she's laid back like almost at a 45-degree angle here. George Mendoza? Yeah, George Mendoza, who was the sailor in that photograph, has died at age 95. His daughter, Sharon Muller, told the Providence Journal Mendoza fell and had a seizure Sunday at an assisted living facility in Middletown, Rhode Island, where he lived with his wife of 70 years. Is that her? Okay, you got to dig, Dalton, while I do the same. Is that, let's see. Okay, here's the rest of the story. Mendoza was shown kissing Greta Zimmer Friedman, a dental assistant in nurse's uniform, on August 14, 1945, known as VJ Day. It was the day that Japan surrendered the U.S. The photo by Alfred, and this full story, I see it over at mynbc15.com on their website. They've got it. Photo by Alfred Eisenstadt became one of the most famous photographs of the 20th century. Absolutely, it did. It was years before Mendoza and Friedman were confirmed to be the couple. Friedman died in 2016 at age 92. Mendoza died 2 days before his 96th birthday. It must have been, were they the couple and they were married for 70 years? You talk about iconic. Holy cow. Right, grab a couple quick calls here. And I do want to get a little time here and play the a little bit of the interview from Friday. And I don't want to run out of time on that. Thomas is in Theodore. Up next. Hey, Thomas.
Good afternoon, Sean. No, I don't think that's his wife. No, he just picked somebody out of the... They were standing there and kissed her.
It's a great photograph.
I don't think he married that girl, but I remember that photograph.
Oh, wow.
Iconic.
Yeah,
iconic.
It is.
About the bridge, I've been following that bridge discussions since the 1990s. And they've been talking about those for since 2010. People knew it was going to be a toll. They thought about 50 cents a dollar or something like that. And all these people, for all these years, we need that bridge. Oh, we just can't wait 5 minutes here and 10 minutes there. And we got to have this bridge. Well, you're not getting here coming up. And I'll tell you, not only are you going to pay that toll, but the causeway, it's going to be so busy, they're going to toll that because you're going to have food trucks down there, dancing girls. The police are going to be getting all the criminals on that causeway, see? And your income, your property tax is going to go up between 10 and 12 mils to finance this. Plus, the state, LDOT, is staying in the business, in that business with that other entity, because they're going to eminent domain hundreds of properties. This bridge is going to take a giant footprint, and they're just going to take your properties, too.
You know what I'm going to dub you as? Nostra Thomas with your... your projection. We'll see. We'll put Quatrain in there a couple times and see if these things don't come true. We'll say this. My favorite takeaway is Thomas's voice of people that support the bridge. His voice, what those people sound like. And number two, dancing girls on the causeway, I'd just be making a full circle, going back to how it used to be. Used to be a lot of dancing girls on the causeway. Mike is in Mobile. He's up next. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Sean, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man. So what's your take on this?
Well, Sean, by the way, Thomas is awesome.
Yes, he is. Nostra Thomas. Nostra Thomas, yes.
Yeah. But anyway, I grew up in California, and they have like 100 freeways in California, and we have two. We have I-10 and I-65.
Right.
In Mobile, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't get it. I thought someone was kidding when they said that they were going to charge a toll to go on the new, on the old tunnel, on the old I-10, because in California, they don't do that. If they build a toll around the San Diego freeway, if you want to save 30 minutes, you pay the toll.
Right, right.
If you don't want to save 30 minutes, you take the old route.
There you go. That was what I thought, too. That's how I got caught up in making an assumption. We know the danger of that, but I made the assumption because that's exactly how I have seen toll roads in the past, that, hey, this route is really kind of a pain in the tail, so if you are willing to slap leather and give us some money, you can save some time and get around it. But they tell in this interview, LDOT says, and the concessionaire, that there's not money to build the bridge if they don't toll both the bridge and the tunnel.
Yeah, that's an insult, man. You know, let everybody who wants to save a few minutes, you know, and has a commercial company paying for it, let them pay for the toll. But they're putting it to us. I mean, they're sticking it to us who already pay taxes. It doesn't make sense.
There you go. Appreciate the call. Thank you, man. Yeah, I saw a couple texts here from Matt at the text line. It says, can't remember if you touched on this, but is there going to be a sunset on the toll once the funding's been fully reimbursed? Oh, Matt, I'm so glad you asked that question. He said, and they went on to say, like there was back in the old tunnel in the early days, believe it was a Bankhead. Yeah, so it had a toll, right? Well, Matt, here's the deal. It's 55 years. Double nickels. Sammy Hagar, I can't drive. 55 years that they get to carry this toll forward, and they can increase it for inflation. It does not, the way I understand it, once again, just asking the questions of the people from ALDOT, it was not based on reimbursement of the total. Yeah, it bothers me too. You know, I can understand this. Okay, here's how much we have when we get this back and plus X number percentage for profit, because that's what they're supposed to do. A private company is supposed to make profit. That's a good thing. It's an okay thing. That would be, but it was set for 55 years. 55 years. So it'll be my children and my children's children paying for that. Let's go to Jonathan and Daphne next. Hey, Jonathan.
Hello. I'm calling from Daphne, Alabama. I've got a suggestion to make. Eastbound tunnel traffic is greater than the westbound tunnel, correct?
Generally, yes.
Yes, okay. So the problem that I see with the eastbound tunnel is the exit that is right at the Austell exit. Like, it's three-quarters of the way up, So cars slow down to get off the exit. So, therefore, all 18-wheelers are required to drive in the right-hand lane. So, whenever you slow down traffic, in order for a car to get off that exit three-quarters of the way up, you back up traffic. You continuously back up traffic over and over and over again. What if 18-wheelers were required to drive in the left-hand lane? So the pedestrian traffic that slows down to get off the exit.
You mean pedestrian? You mean local? You don't mean people walking? You mean local traffic?
Correct. Okay. Pedestrian, like I'm talking about. Yeah, not pedestrian, okay. But local traffic.
Okay. I was about to say, because that's bad news for them if they're walking.
Correct. I'm talking about like local traffic.
Okay.
So they're driving in the right-hand lane. The 18-wheelers are in the left-hand lane. For this period of time that they go through the tunnel, they don't experience that slowdown because of that exit.
I hear what you're saying. I am kind of picturing it here, and you could send us a sketch of it. I think I know what you're saying, and you don't have, you know, everybody at that point in the right lane. You don't have the trucks in the right lane and the... But see, a lot of those trucks, though, will get off and go use Cochran Bridge, too, depending on where they're going. So it would have to be for... Couldn't be for all trucks because some trucks are getting off there. Let's go to, we'll grab one more. I think we're probably going to run out of time. We'll try to get that. If I do not get that replay of the interview on from the other day, you can always go to the podcast page, go fmtalk1065.com and hit where it says podcast, and you'll see something like Sean talks to ALDOT officials or something like that. Plus, we posted it through on our Twitter feed at fmtalk1065, also at fmtalk. Talk Pods. We have our own podcasting Twitter feed. If you'll look for that, it's posted there and through our Facebook page. Let's go to Jackie and Theodore next. Hey, Jackie.
Hey, Sean.
Hey, so what's your take on this? What's the fix?
Well, it won't fix it, but it'll help it. Eastern Shore charges like 11% lodging tax for hotels, condos, campgrounds, all that and the other.
Huh.
They're making money off the tourists, and it'd be in their interest to have a bridge. Why can't they cough up some of that?
Are y'all hearing that, Baldwin County? Come on, Baldwin County. Jackie has pointed this out that y'all have got, isn't it like 11% over there at the Bass Pro Shops, whatever the name of that big development is? I know that's the sales tax there. And then, like you mentioned, lodging tax. So we're going to build a bridge, and Baldwin County is going to pay for it.
Why not?
There we go. All right. There it is. The die is cast. I appreciate that. Let's see here. Speaking of Baldwin County, we're going to be checking in with Debbie Williams from News 5 here in just a second after the bottom of the hour news, because there was a meeting we talked about this morning. I actually checked in with Chad Petrie from News 5. And to be frank with you, there's so many moving parts to this that I was trying, and Chad was doing his best to describe it to me, and all the questions surrounding $7 million. And, you know, you have a situation here in Baldwin County, just like Mobile County has seen, where you have individual municipalities splitting off their own school system. But you have a county system that takes in tax revenues that's supposed to allocate for these schools across the county. Well, then you have a municipality pull out and do another school. What's the responsibility of the county to that? I think that's what's a question, but lucky for us, Debbie Williams, who's been watching the story, will join us here in just a second. Okay, so here's the thing. We're not going to be able to get to it probably on today's show, but if you get a chance, and maybe we can repost it on the Twitter feed. The interview was on Friday with the folks from ALDOT. I went through a lot of the questions we've talked about, and you can go back and listen to them. Plus, I'm going to work on doing y'all a one-sheeter. That's how I kind of makes things easy for me to keep up with all the different comments, things I know as of right now with the bridge project, things we've been talking about for a decade on this show. But, questions about tolling, questions about there are no toll booths, questions about bike lanes, expanded bayway lanes, how much the toll is. And yes, I'll put the documentation I've gotten here about the legality of tolling on current interstates, put all that stuff together. Maybe we have is that on the Build the Bridge set? Do they have something like frequently asked questions or something, ALDOT? Let's see if they've already done it, and I could just copy theirs. If not, I'll put mine together, and we'll get it posted up. All right, coming right back, we'll check in with Debbie Williams from News 5. She's been at that hearing today from Baldwin County Board of Education and others, and she'll fill us in. Y'all stay close.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
135 FM Talk 106.5. Midday Mobile on this Monday. Text line is popping at 343-0106. If you didn't have enough questions and comments about what we've talked about already, let's add something, I'd say, new to the mix for some folks. If you've been watching this, it's been going on a while, and we're going to get more information from News 5's Debbie Williams, who is going to bring us up to date on where we are with this lawsuit between Baldwin County Schools and the city of Gulf Shores. Hey, Debbie.
Hello, Sean. A little light reading on a Sunday night.
40-page lawsuit you got to breeze through here. And then today you had, was it a hearing? What was it today?
Well, they had a briefing at 11:15 for the media just to kind of run through the 40 pages. And then Superintendent Eddie Tyler and their legal counsel, as well as the president of the school board, addressed the media. And they're thinking behind this lawsuit that all goes back to the split between the county and the city of Gulf Shores starting their own school system.
Okay, so the way this goes down is Gulf Shores says, hey, we're going to do our own thing. We're going to start our own school. And take us back here. That is financed by what? Keeping the property taxes from within the municipality? How does that work? How do you get the money for the school?
So this all started about 18 months ago, and there was a bump in the lodging tax. And in the city of Orange Beach, they were using that for the Wolf Bay Bridge and different things like that. In Gulf Shores, they said, well, that's going to help us start our own school system. So that is the money that, it's not that money, but it's startup money for a school system that is the disputed amount of cash here between the county and the city. The county is saying that the agreement that the state superintendent wanted them to sign, Eric Mackey wanted them to sign, the deadline was Friday, was not fair, it was not just, and he had no authority to order them. This wasn't a negotiated settlement. This was an ordered settlement for the superintendent, and he doesn't have the authority to do that. That is legislative, that is in the law, and he can't just say, okay, Baldwin County, you owe the city of Gulf Shores this amount of money in order for them to start their own school system. That is the responsibility of the city of Gulf Shores, their startup costs. It's very convoluted, and it's very, if you don't know the funding mechanisms for school systems, there's state funding from what they call the foundation fund. And there's also local taxes. That all goes in together into one pot to fund public schools all across the state. They start on a fiscal year, October 1st. That's when they get their lump sum. The school year, just for argument's sake, say it starts August 1st, and goes to May. Right. There's a couple of months there where there's no you have to front that money. You know, you have to, and even the county systems are that way, where they don't have that money coming in yet, but on October 1st they get their lump sum and they can take care of everything. The dispute is that when the city schools start in Gulf Shores, that they will be a month behind, and they need Gulf Shores, who's already been allotted that money, to, in some mathematical formula, prorate or whatever, that they owe them $4 million from the money that they got the previous school year. It is very confusing, but the they said that they're not gonna let the superintendent make these decisions. They will let a judge do it, and they are taking them to court to do that, to settle this whole dispute.
Wow. Okay. Which was, it's not going to come for free either.
Oh no.
So it's, the number's gone from $7 million to $4 million, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
But still, I mean, this is big time money. This can make a big difference here if you're trying to get your school system started. I mean, that's serious.
But that's not the response. What the county is saying, that is not their responsibility. They did not ask for the Gulf Shores to start their own school system. So why would they pay for them to start their own school system when, and then they point to the new Orange Beach High School, which is a $40 million price tag that the county is going to have to pay as a direct result of Gulf Shores splitting from the county system. And they're not getting any startup costs or anything like that from the city, you know, so it's fair is fair.
If you're just joining us, talking to Debbie Williams with News 5 about what's going on here between Gulf Shores and the Baldwin County Board of Education. Debbie, what about the mechanism? You talked briefly about the mechanism for paying for schools. And if you know, please help us here. I mean, if it's a combination of state money, so I guess, you know, ETF, Education Trust Fund money coming from the state, and then the way I always understood it, property taxes locally, right? That's part of...
Correct.
Okay. So when you... Let's say you, I say, okay, I'm in Gulf Shores or whatever, we're going to create our own school. Do we then take out the property taxes that would have gone out of Gulf Shores and gone to a county system? Can we keep those there in Gulf Shores, or do we still have to kick that money to the county system?
Everything will go to the county or to the state, and in the county, and that's why one of the people that's named in the lawsuit is the Baldwin County Commission, is because they write a check, and they are not going to write a check to anybody until this is stopped. So not only do you have property taxes, but you'll remember the sales tax. We have the, I think there's a 2% sales tax now total that helps fund the schools and also helps fund that pay-as-you-go plan that the county system has now, building all these new schools and new school wings. So there's a lot of different pots of money that go together to fund schools throughout the state.
Yeah, I haven't heard people, I mean, I've said this a few times and have waited for maybe somebody in official capacity to challenge me one way or another on it, but that there would be a motivation, you know, it sounds like maybe not with that system, but a motivation if you were a municipality, let's just call it what it is. If you're Orange Beach or Gulf Shores, there's a lot of high-end property there, a lot of high property values, and not so many people there that are full-time residents that vote. And if I live there, I may push for some kind of system like this because there are more houses that are nicer houses and less children. And we, you know, my kids could probably get a great school out of it. But that's if you could keep the money right there. If you've got to put it into the county system and wait for it back, maybe that doesn't work.
Well, and I think that's part of it, is the property taxes there are, you're getting a lot more funding there in the city of Gulf Shores for property taxes. You have a bump in your lodging tax, which that would go for that. You also have the sales tax. So there's your local money. And then you have the Education Trust Fund money coming from the state. But again, it's pretty much a timing issue of when school ends and when the school year starts, as opposed to the fiscal year starting and ending. And so that's the ground zero for the dispute, is that before you get your state funds, you have the money to start up your school. And I'll say this too, because anytime there's a lawsuit, you think, well, you know, there goes the start date of the school. Gulf Shores and the county say this will not delay the start of that school system. which starts up June 1st.
Now, okay, well, June 1st with what, the summer school or?
No, that is officially the start of the city school system in Gulf Shores.
Huh.
So okay. As of June 1st, they have the buildings, they are hiring the teachers, they've got their students. You know, at that point, they'll know how many students they have, although we're still waiting on the deadline of March 1st for some of the students to declare if they're going to Gulf Shores or they're going to stay in the county.
And how is that? How does that work? I mean, is if you're inside the city limits, you can say where you're going to go, or?
Well, so this inside the city limits is that's your student body, but there are some right now the 11th. Well, in the next year, in the 11th and the 12th graders, they had the option, or that they could stay in the city system, so that they could. You know, graduate with their class, and they've gone through their entire education career there in Gulf Shores, and they can stay there. The ninth graders now that would be going to the 10th grade have a decision to make whether to stay in the city or stay or go into the county. And so that's the deadline, March 1st, where they have to declare if they're going to stay with the city or move on to another school in the county.
All right. Well, we're going to, I guess, the next thing is we hear from the attorneys in this, or what, Debbie?
Well, it goes to court. Judge Joseph Norton has the case. We are expecting a countersuit from the city of Gulf Shores, also disputing money. So that has not been filed yet, but it is certainly something that is expected by the county legal team, and we'll wait to see that. They believe that this could be in a Baldwin County courtroom in the next month to 6 weeks.
Well, we'll wait for that time, and then I'll be pestering you again for more information on it.
And maybe I'll have a clearer picture of what actually is going on here.
Well, it does help me a little bit when people that I know that pay more attention to this than I do, because I've been over the weekend I was scratching my head, this morning I was scratching my head, and at least I know I'm not alone on some of these things, that it's it is complex. It's not a simple discussion.
It comes down to what they said in the briefing this morning. It comes down to this was not a negotiated settlement between Gulf Shores and Baldwin County. It was an ordered settlement by the state superintendent, who they believe does not have the authority to make such demands and orders of a county system.
There you go. Now that part makes a little more sense to me. Debbie Williams from News 5, as always, thanks for your time. We'll talk again soon.
Absolutely.
All right, coming right back. Your phone calls at 343-0106. I have a lot of texts coming in here about this as well, so we'll read through your text on the questions out of the Gulf Shores Baldwin County Board of Education disagreement.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 150 FM Talk 106.5. Now, this looks, like I said earlier, more like February, right? This weekend with all those warm temperatures and all that stuff. Come on. It looks like maybe stop raining here. But raining earlier and 51 at our studios. I mean, that's February, right? That's Mardi Gras weather. Love the Gulf Coast. More from Dr. Bill coming up. We'll get an update here shortly during the Paul Feinbaum Show, about 10 minutes away here at FM Talk 106.5. To the phones we go, and plus we got some text to get through here as well. And Bruce is in Mobile, wants to talk tolling. Hey, Bruce.
How you doing today?
Doing good, man. So, bridge tolls, what's your take on this?
Well, my take is they're sitting here waiting for federal funds to be allocated for the bridge.
Mm-hmm. Hello? Hello?
You there?
I'm still here. Believe it or not, I'm still here. Yes.
But they're federal funds. We're the ones paying the federal funds, so we're going to end up getting taxed twice on this.
Well, you press 9. Press 9. Now, okay, so I'm going to let you go ahead and dial through there, Bruce. But here's the deal. So, well, sure. I mean, the people that think the federal tax dollars are magical. Well, they are magical, actually. I got to get to that in a second. They're this magical, not real money thing. It is magical, not real money, because they either print more of it with quantitative easing, or we borrow from entities that I guess nobody in Washington ever thinks we're going to pay back. And yes, that's both Republicans and Democrats who seem to spend like the Piper is never going to, it's never coming on that. The money will never have to be paid. But I'll just stay here on my own island and talk about that, because nobody else cares about fiscal matters. So back to what you're saying. I could also make the short-term argument and say, well, actually, we win on that one if we get any federal dollars, because Alabama is a net beneficiary of federal dollars. That's not a political statement. People often say that's a Democrat. It's not. It's just a fact. I mean, there are more federal dollars that come in than federal taxes go out. Now, you can say, well, the people that spend the, pay the federal taxes aren't the ones that get the money back. Of course not, unless you're a big corporation, get some kind of cherry carve out. Other than that, no. But we are a net, as a state, as we Alabamians, we are a net beneficiary of the federal government. More federal dollars come into Alabama than Alabama tax dollars go to the feds. So anything more we can get, we're getting over on them, man. The tolling thing, it's just, and I want you all to go listen to the podcast and you go read, make sure we're all on the same page, because I think there are so many debates to be had and discussions to have around this bridge. But we need to make sure we're talking about them all on the same page. I mean, okay, somebody said nobody's dealing with the bottleneck. Somebody on the I think that was Doug. Well, Doug, here's what they say about that. That you don't have the bottlenecking as much because the bridge, which, oh yeah, somebody told me cable stayed, all right, not suspension, cable stayed bridge over the Mobile River will be 6 lanes. By the time you get onto the Bayway, which will now have, I guess, the bridge traffic coming and the tunnel traffic, right? They're going to merge at some point out there into one. The Bayway is going to be 8 lanes. So 8 lane, right, it's going to be, the bridge is 6 lanes, and I could argue that the tunnels are 4 lanes, but there will be a slight bottleneck, but not as much. It'll be, I guess, if there was somebody traveling every lane of the bridge and every lane of the tunnel, then they would have to combine by 2 lanes. So it'll be 8 lanes across the entire Bayway, and they're going to raise the height of the Bayway, get it above where storm surge would be. I mean, there's a bunch to it. And maybe that's one of the nuances in the argument for tolling the tunnel, because the tunnel connects to this. It's not just a bridge. And that's one of the arguments they made. And I think I'll make it for them. Doesn't mean I agree, but I mean, got to make sure you're coming at this from a fair perspective, that you're not just getting a bridge, you're getting the expansion of the Bayway. Wider, higher Bayway. So that's probably the argument to be made for the Wallace Tunnel, that without the, like, say you took the bridge out of it. Okay, this would be interesting. If you took the idea of the bridge out of it and said, hey, we're just going to make the Bayway bigger, even though I know the argument would be, well, that's not necessary until you get the tunnel issue, but let's say the tunnel was fine, but the Bayway was the bigger problem there. If you were going to expand the Bayway, it, from the things I have been sent, and these are documents that came from Federal Highway Administration to ALDOT, these are letters between them, quoting federal code, that you could do that. That you could toll an existing road. So doesn't mean you have to like it. It just means we have to establish some things that are the basis in facts for the argument. Then you can say, well, that's wrong. We shouldn't do that. We should do something else. That's cool. We just got to get to the get some facts on this. And yes, there's somebody again with questions about the toll booths. There's not going to be toll booths in their idea here. It's going to be toll by plate. And no, I don't know what you do when it's tag applied for. I don't know what you do when it's mud on the, I don't know. Y'all go ask the people with ALDOT. John in Mobile up next. Hey, John.
I think they ought to charge $12 to cross the bridge for illegal aliens and use the extra money to pay for the wall.
Okay, so your idea is to have illegal aliens traveling I-10. How would they show that they're, how would you require people to identify whether they're legal or illegal before we get the $12?
I think they ought to chip all of them.
Chip them,
yeah.
But if they're illegal,
chip readers.
But if they're, oh, you're saying we'd chip American citizens, and then if you didn't have a chip, you would get the $12.
Well, that's what Hillary wants.
John, do you want to chip people?
Her health plan.
Are you wanting to chip people?
No, Hillary wanted to with her alien. So why not do it to the illegal aliens?
But how would you, if you got the person to put the chip in them, wouldn't it be better to then at that point deport them if they were illegal before you chipped them?
I got one more thing for you.
Okay, well, after that first one, it's so good, I can't wait for the second one. What you got? What's number two?
How many foreign-born people are living in the United States now? According to the United Nations, it's 58.5 million.
Out of our 350 million citizens, it's 58 million foreign-born people.
58.5 million, according to the UN website.
Okay. I don't have that in front of me, so I'll...
Yeah, look it up. I think
I think the Bilderbergers are dropping your phone signal there. I'm losing you here, so let me jump here, but I will check those numbers because I have not heard that yet. Well, and Dalton, can you check those numbers and see how many of those people are chipped or not chipped? If those chips are... You know, if you could be chipped and it was a Cajun crawtator from Zaps, I would probably volunteer. Well, I would be... If it's a chip just to track me, I might be one of the first partisans to flee for the forest. If they would lure me in with delicious Zaps crawtaters with the flavor of crawfish at a lot lower price, then I'd be in. Which, by the way, side note, you know, the whole movement here, make crawfish $1.89 again. You've seen the hats. I'm behind it. Went to a venue in extreme northern Mobile County over the weekend. Walked in and said, because I had the crawfish signs up, I said, man, yeah, you got some crawfish cooked? He said, yeah. He said, crawfish are $6.49 a pound cooked. That would be almost $6.50, y'all, a pound cooked. And then I was about to tell him how I didn't want them. He said, doesn't matter, we're sold out. So pretty soon the drug dealers are going to switch to crawfish, I swear, at these prices.